You're listening to Finances Demystified with Dominique Broadway, the podcast that provokes the conversation of money, demystifies all your finances, and shows you how to bring all of your dreams to reality so that you can live your very best life on your own terms. Hello, hello, and welcome back to another edition of Finances Demystified with Dominique Broadway. And I am your host, Dominique, and I am so excited for today's guest, like super, super excited. And let me tell you a little bit about Rachel Hill. And Rachel is a travel influencer and digital strategist from Orlando, Florida. After silently suffering from anxiety disorder and depression, Rachel retired from corporate America at 27. Yes, 27, to travel the world indefinitely. Initially starting racheltravels.com as an open journal for her solo backpacking journey through Southeast Asia, she soon saw there was a gap in the narrative of what it means to be a Black traveler. Within 4 years, through creative and digital strategy, she created a travel brand with thousands of followers that influences and inspires millennials of color to push past their comfort zones and travel the world. Rachel, we are so excited to have you today.
Thank you so much for having me, Dominique. I appreciate it.
Yes, I've been really, really looking forward to this interview because one, you are just overall goals. And I think I feel like people know each other on social media. But I think I finally just got to meet you for the first time in DC at BYOB.
Yes. It was brief because it was such a busy weekend, but at least we got a chance to connect.
Now I got a chance to lay my eyes on you. It was a very busy weekend, but like I said, I'm so excited to have you because one, you retired at 27, which we need to talk about. And then also two, you are doing what a lot of people would love to do. And I think a journey that I'm partially jumping out on myself. I'm in denial, but we'll talk about that. But I'm so excited to have you. So I guess tell me first things first, like, how did you retire at 27? How did that happen?
So, like you mentioned in my bio, I had the life that, you know, most of us are told by our parents and by society that we're supposed to have, right? You go to school, you do really well, you work, you know, get a really good job, and you like work and do that for the next, 30, 40 years, you retire, and that's just kind of the end of your story. Mm-hmm. And so I was on that trajectory. Like, I did well in school. I went to work for a Fortune top 25 corporation. Mm-hmm. And then I was in IT, which, you know, is an industry where, you know, it's a very lucrative industry to be in. Mm-hmm. And so I had like the life that everyone says you're supposed to have, like started off living in the New Jersey, New York area, moved to Philly, had the great apartments and like the super lit social life. And I just wasn't happy. And I would find out later that I was diagnosed with anxiety disorder and depression. Mm-hmm. And so my thought was, okay, like, yes, I have all these shiny, glittery things, and I'm making like this great salary, but at the expense of my mental health and like my hair is falling out. Like, you know, as a Black woman, that's a big deal, right?
Yeah.
So I was like, you know, I don't think that this is how I want to create my story. And so I did some research and just, you know, try to figure out what it was that I really wanted to do. And I still wasn't quite sure, but I was willing to bet on myself and just like, you know what, corporate America is not about to kill me, or at least not where I am in my life right now. So I just decided to leave my very comfortable life and just retire. And I just knew, I didn't know at the time like what it was, but I just knew like I could recreate something else, and it didn't have to be based off of the story that other people told me it had to be. So I decided to retire from corporate America and figure it out.
I love it. I love it. And I love your story because it's very similar to mine, where I feel like I've always felt the same way. Like, I don't have to, like, I've done everything that people told me to do, but why am I still unhappy? You know, I make decent money. Yeah. I have a dope spot. Like, and it's like really taking control of your life and like what I like to call like lifestyle design and designing lifestyle on your own terms. So I love that. I love that. When you were making that transition, what was your biggest fear in making that transition? To leave,
you know, now that I think about it, I don't know. I kind of felt I think my biggest fear wasn't even the financial piece. It was the judgment. Mm. It was like, you know, what are people going to think of me? Because I have been like the official blueprint of what you're supposed to do. I did it, you know, like I was of, you know, what your life was supposed to look like. And so I think I was more fearful of what people would think of me, what my parents would, the fear of like disappointing people who looked at me like, okay, you're doing the damn thing. Mm-hmm. And then also there was that idea of financial security. But to be honest, I prepared myself financially for the journey, at least for like the first year, year and a half. Yeah. So I wasn't like so concerned about the finances, and more concerned about like, you know, what people would perceive that I was doing, because I had no idea, honestly.
Yeah. And then what were people saying once you made that transition? What were people saying when you made that initial transition?
I mean, you know how it is. It's like, girl, especially like my parents, like, girl, you got a good job. You making good money. Like, your job offers you this, this, and this. Like, you live in these great cities. Like, what is it that you want? Da, da, da. And not that they were nagging me. It was more so like, are you sure about this decision? And then my friends were like, okay, girl. You know, like, no one, you know, as your friends, they're like super supportive, but they're also like, you know, like, I'm also don't know what I want out of my life. So I really don't have much to say. So, yeah, I mean, people were supportive. Definitely my friends, my family was concerned. We're like, at this point, I remember my father said, I'm going to say you've done everything that we've asked you to do up until this point. So, you know, whatever you want to do from here on out is like, you grown girl, you know what I'm saying? But we just also want to make sure, you know, that you are safe and, you know, secure as well.
Okay, cool. So I know you said you've prepared, you were pretty much, I guess, had about a year, year and a half worth of savings set aside before you made that transition. Now, how long has it been since you've been full-time self-employed?
So I actually just celebrated my 4-year anniversary.
Oh, congratulations.
So yes, it's been 4 years of this.
Okay. And so you've been doing racheltravels.com for all 4 years?
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely. I've been doing it for the past 4 years. And obviously, like any business, it kind of, your business model changes a little bit.
Yeah.
But yes, this is what I've been doing 100% full time last 4 years.
I love it. I love it. So I know recently you moved, left the whole country behind. And you moved to South Africa. So tell me, what prompted that move?
Well, now I'm in a place in my life where I guess I'm just like, you know, I've done a lot in such a short period of time, because I, you know, I'm still pretty young. But, you know, it was like I did the corporate America thing for, you know, a few years, check that off. You know, I traveled the world, check that off. I started businesses, check that off, right? So one of the things that I had been wanting to do was to actually live abroad, even if it was for, you know, 6 months or something like that. And so this was kind of like my last thing that I really, you know, kind of wanted to get out of my system, I guess. And then I really like South Africa. It's one of my favorite countries. It's always been one of my favorite countries. And so I was like, well, I really like it. And I, you know, I'm based in Atlanta and it's obviously a lot of people of color and I love people of color. So then coming to the continent where you're around a ton of people of color. And then Johannesburg reminds me a lot of Atlanta in the sense of like affluent people of color, lots of creatives, lots of things to do. It's like a bustling city. So I decided, you know, instead of going back and forth, because I had been coming back and forth most of early 2018. So I was like, I'll just move here. And the cost of living is really, really reasonable. So it made the decision like super, super duper easy.
Okay. So you own your home in Atlanta, right?
Yes.
Okay. So is that something that you like rented out or did you kind of just keep it open? So when you want to come back, and what was that process?
So, because a lot of people are like, okay, you are entrepreneurs, so how are you able to purchase a home? Mm-hmm. And because we are on a financial podcast, what I was able to do is when I was in corporate, I had a lot of investments. And one of them was, obviously, I had a 401k, mm-hmm. in which after I left corporate, I rolled it over into an IRA.
Okay.
And then there, I was able to leverage that to purchase my first home. So great. I know a lot of people are just like, okay, like, how does that work? So that's one way that you can do it. Mm-hmm. So I leveraged that to purchase my first home, and it was kind of like moving ready. And mm-hmm. so from there, because I travel so much, I put it on Airbnb.
Oh,
and I put it on Airbnb just thinking, you know, at least that'll kind of subsidize, you know, the mortgage portion, but it's been doing so well that at a point I was almost homeless because, you know, the house was, you know, booked out, which is like an amazing problem to have. I'm definitely complaining. So that, you know, stream of income has really helped. So when I am home in Atlanta, I just have to actually book my own house out. But that's what I do with my home in Atlanta. So instead of it becoming like a home, it kind of became another business and opportunity. So, which also helps me, you know, to live here comfortably in South Africa.
I love it. Wow. That's awesome. So now you got your Airbnb going on, which is basically like a whole nother business, which is great. And so when you made this transition to Johannesburg, what did that look like? I mean, I guess because everything was already covered with your house, which is great. So what, like, how did you, you know, find an apartment? Was it, were you able to find an apartment in the location that you wanted based on, you know, I guess your budget? And then my second question is about like banking. Like, do you have a bank there? Are you banking here? Like, what does it look like when you're living abroad?
Yeah. So, the one thing that I did, which I would highly recommend to people who are considering moving abroad or who has made, you know, who have made the decision and not sure, like, where do you want to live? Mm-hmm. I actually booked an Airbnb here for a week. And I decided, like, as soon as I get here, I have, like, I think it was actually maybe, like, 8 days. So I was like, you know what, I'm giving myself a solid week to, you know, figure out where I want to live. Like, I had a budget, and I wrote down everything I wanted. So I manifested, like, I only want to pay, legit, I was like, I only want to pay $550 a month. That's the most I'm willing to pay.
That's good. Yeah.
So I was like, that's the most I want to pay. And I want it to include, you know, all of these things like Wi-Fi and, you know, all that stuff. Right. So, and then I was like, obviously I want to stay in like a neighborhood where I'm able to walk because I don't have a car here. So, you know, I want to be able to walk to coffee shops and restaurants and different things like that. So I just kind of wrote down what it is I wanted. And luckily, because I had been coming back and forth, I had a few friends that I could, you know, reach out to and ask, you know, what were their suggestions for different neighborhoods. And then I also got on Facebook and joined some Facebook groups and, you know, figured out what sort of areas offered what I wanted. And then being here on the ground, I was able to, you know, take some Ubers, which Uber is really inexpensive here. Okay. So take Uber to different neighborhoods and see, you know, if I like the vibe, did they have what I was looking for? And then from there, I found a website that's kind of like our version of Craigslist. And I was able to, find a couple places on there and then see them for myself. And I got exactly what I wanted. And I actually pay like $100 less than what I initially said my budget was.
Wow. So, that's amazing.
I know.
And it's so interesting how you can, live larger sometimes overseas than you can.
Absolutely. Here. Like, I think I pay, you know, the South African rand has dropped in value. So now the dollar is like, today it's like $1 to 14.65. So my rent is kind of like dropping, but it's amazing because I'm paying like 400, I think last time I calculated like 417 a month. And then we have a cleaning lady that comes twice a week and a gardener and like unlimited Wi-Fi and like all of these things. I'm like, I would never ever be able to get all of this stuff, you know, for under $500 a month at home and still be able to walk to the coffee shop and meet people there and go to dinner and, you know, have those experiences.
Wow, that's awesome. Okay. I feel like I'm about to relocate there as well. So tell me what about, so like even like banking, like do you still bank here? Like how do you pay your rent there? Are we Venmoing over there? Like what does that even look like?
So initially I've been here for 3 months. So the first month and a half, it was a lot of like taking out cash, redepositing. And it was very like annoying and just, you know, a little stressful. Mm-hmm. However, South Africa in particular has a very sophisticated banking system, and especially their ATM system. So a lot of people actually don't carry a ton of cash. Like you can pay your bills through the ATM. You can like do everything via the ATM and via the apps on your phone. Like they're very secure and a lot more sophisticated than what we have at home. So I was actually able to get what's called a non-resident account here in South Africa. So there's a bank called FNB that I think you just had to show them like a lease agreement and like your passport or something like that. And then you're able to set up a non-resident account. Now there are, you know, certain limitations to it. So as an example, I hooked up my US bank as like an international transfer, like an EFT to my South African bank, which it was fine, like it worked, but I had to show proof to my South African bank, you know, why I had to like give them proof and like an explanation on why I sent myself that much, where it came from, etc. So it wasn't really that big of a deal. I just was like, hey, I sent myself myself money from my own bank account. So it's not a huge deal, but there are like a few things that you could do, and you only up to certain amounts. There's like a few limitations, but it's not so limiting that you're not able to pay bills and different things like that here. So having that makes life like 100 times easier here.
Wow, that's so cool. And you don't have a car or anything there. You just kind of Uber around because you said it's inexpensive to Uber, right?
Yeah, it's like the most I pay in Uber is like $7. And that's for like a 20-minute ride.
Wow, that's good. That's very good.
Yeah.
So as you were preparing to move, I guess, you know, it helps that, well, I guess there's a couple ways for people to kind of move overseas. I know some people are like, well, she has her own business, which is like Rachel Travel. So basically your business is like about you traveling anyway. But obviously that helps. But for other people, you know, if you're thinking about moving abroad, I mean, there's ways that you could even start your own company. Or in addition to that, even, you know, asking your job to work remotely. So one of the other questions I had, because you obviously, like I said, your company is based on you traveling, so it just works. But have you had any pushback being that you are in South Africa now with any of your projects, or like has it affected your business at all?
No, it hasn't affected my business. I would say the only impact is on me physically, because you know, I'm about 6 to 9 hours ahead of my people and my clients in the States. So, you know, I have to stay up a little later to, you know, hop on calls and do things like that. But it's not like so inconvenient, because I just at least try to make sure it's up, you know, before midnight so I can get some sleep. So it's not terrible. It's just, you know, making sure I'm in a quiet place, or I'm at home, so I'm able to concentrate in, you know, different things like that. So obviously sometimes, you know, if it's 10 o'clock, I may still be out at dinner having drinks or something like that. So that's like the only minor inconvenience, but, you know, other than that, it hasn't impacted my business at all.
Okay,
if anything, I feel like I'm more productive because I'm 6 to 9 hours ahead. I can get so much more work done, and I'm not distracted for at least that many hours before the calls and the, you know, the emails start rolling in.
And it's kind of like you're in the future.
So social media is super quiet as well. So because you all are sleeping, so it's really like easy for me to be super productive. So that's really been like a huge benefit.
Yeah, I have to say, I kind of enjoy when I was in Israel last week, like when I was up, Like, nobody was calling me, nobody was texting me because they were all asleep. Right. And I was like, is this sad that I'm like happy that no one hit me up? And I have like, a day to myself. I enjoyed it. It was weird. I felt guilty about it. So what do you feel has been within your business? I just want to go back to that real quick. Kind of like the big, maybe the big shift or change in your business that allowed you to kind of be able to make the money that you need to live this life on your own terms. I'm sure it took you a while to get it to a point where it was something that's sustainable that you could manage from anywhere in the world, right?
Absolutely.
So what do you feel like that big shift was for you mentally, financially, or even spiritually?
So yeah, I was definitely going to go for more of the spiritual aspect. And mm-hmm. it was just like understanding my worthiness, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and that I deserved to live the life that I want to live. Like, I've always just, I don't know why that's been like a big thing for me. It's like, mm-hmm. you know, live the life that you want to create. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times, especially as an entrepreneur, you know, in the early beginning, in the beginning, you're not sure what to charge mm-hmm. or, you know, sometimes we suffer from that imposter syndrome okay. and, you know, all of the things that kind of come up. So it was really just like focusing on those spiritual aspects and blasting through like what worthiness meant to me and looked like to me and like charging my worth and also valuing my time as well. Creating, you know, a business to where I could have more time to enjoy mm-hmm. my life, enjoy my family, enjoy my friends, enjoy my expat living. And that I'm not, you know, constantly creating and launching and doing those sorts of things. So it definitely took time, but it was also very intentional for me to like work on, you know, worthiness and what I deserved and like making sure to put that out there and creating goals to achieve that.
Okay. I love it. That's good. So what is like one like quote or mantra or something that you live by?
Ooh, that's a good one. I don't know if there's like an actual mantra. One thing I can say is that every morning, like every single morning, I wake up and I'm like, thank you. That's like the first thing I do before I hop on my phone, before I do anything else, is like just be in a space of thankfulness. And that's probably just my mantra, because I mean, when I am like really honest with myself, it's like, damn, like I did this, you know, I'm really grateful. I'm doing literally all the things that I've wanted to do and I'm very happy doing them. And I know it wasn't just me alone, right? Like on the spiritual level, from the, you know, friends and family and people who supported me and all that good stuff. So I'm just really, really thankful. So that's probably like my mantra. It's just being full of gratitude early in the morning.
Starting your day with gratitude. I love it. I love it. And is there anything else that I didn't ask that you want to share, or any other experience that you feel like people need to know about this, as far as like running a blog or, you know, running a travel blog exclusively, or even living abroad?
So right now I am in the process of writing a book on influencer marketing and really on how to be a travel influencer of color. One of the things that I have been super passionate about is, you know, being a travel influencer has been great, and I have a background in marketing. So honestly, that's kind of what helped me, you know, propel my business and put a lot of momentum behind it, because I just had that marketing knowledge. But a lot of people don't have marketing knowledge or works in digital marketing in, you know, in a corporate environment, right? And so that's why I'm writing this book, to kind of give people the blueprint of what it looks like to be a travel influencer specifically of color, because I've gone out and worked with these different brands in tourism boards. They're just now kind of understanding and getting comfortable with the notion of travelers of color, whether that is, you know, Black folks, the Hispanic community, the Asian community. You know, they're now realizing that they need to create these, you know, very tailored and custom campaigns for different groups of people. Even like the LGBT community, right? So But as they are starting to get comfortable with this and understanding they need these campaigns, they also need the influencers in place. And so my goal is, like, as I'm moving into other projects, is to at least leave like a blueprint behind, like, I did this, if I can do it, you can do it, here is how you can do it. So that's what I'm working on right now. Like I said, because I'm in the future from, you know, people in the States, it's, you know, it's been a great journey because I'm not nearly as distracted as I would be at home.
So I'm excited that's about good. That. That's good. And I'm excited to read this book, to hear it and get it done. Cause I'm like secretly deep down, I want to be a travel influencer, but I don't know if I have what it takes. Cause it's hard. You know, I just post it's my little so pictures hard. When I travel, but you know, even my most recent trip, and I attempted to do a vlog. So when I post it, just, you can don't judge me too hard. but I just kept forgetting to video. Like I kept like, cause I like to be present in the moment. So like, I know I struggle with, like, actually capturing the moment and being present in the moment. How do you handle that?
You know, it's even difficult for me because I would say I'm not a natural creative. I'm a type A personality. I was a project manager before I became a travel influencer. So everything to me is about like structure and deadlines and all that good stuff. So when I travel, I'm also not like, I like to be in the moment and like, okay, like this is what we're doing. Like I really want to enjoy this dish. So oftentimes I do forget, like I have to take these photos or angles. I got to make sure that the, you know, the sunlight is right. The natural lighting is good. So it does get difficult. But as I've been doing it for so long, you know, I just, okay, like before I start eating, let me take this picture or whatever. And then also, when it comes to creating vlogs is, you know, instead of it trying to be such a beautiful, you know, visually appealing thing, I just try to be as honest as possible. So I found that if I'm just who I am and keep it real and curse a little bit or whatever, like this is who I am, that, you know, just works better than trying to create all these visuals because that's just not my ministry, you know?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I can keep it real with you, but I can't tell you like what angles look good and how to cut the video and all of that. So yeah, it can be hard, but you just kind of have to find what works for you and what feels good for you, and people will resonate with that.
I love that. And I think that's too what makes your content and your delivery like unique to you. And there's going to be people who don't need all the extra fluff on the video. They just want to see what you're saying. You know, they don't need the fancy cutaways and the fanciest tones and music and all that stuff like that. So I think I've noticed that as well. So I'm definitely gonna be grabbing your book when it's done. So hurry up, because I need it before the end of the year.
the pressure is on now, Dominique.
Yes, please. I just started my travel journey. I just put everything in storage as of the Friday before last. So everything is officially, thank you. Everything is officially in storage, but I technically do not have a home because I had sold my condo back in December 2017. So I was going to buy some investment properties in Houston, but I said, you know what? I'm going to just wait because I'm not ready. I'm just not ready. I'm not in a mindset where I want to jump into anything else just yet. So I am traveling the rest of the year. I do not have a home, but I got a couple bags.
Welcome,
and I'm just
welcome to my life.
Yeah, so I'll be hitting you up for some advice. And like I said, I'm probably gonna try to come to Johannesburg because it's always good when you know someone there. Anything else before we wrap up?
No, I appreciate you having me on here. This has been so much fun. So I appreciate you for even considering me.
Of course. Girl, you know I'm a fan. Well, for everybody else, please make sure you go and check out Rachel Hill at racheltravels.com. She's also Rachel Travels on Instagram. She has really awesome vlogs as well, even on IGTV. Now, just following her on IG is just good to see her whole life because it's so different than what we're doing over here in the States, which I think is super refreshing. So definitely make sure you log on, like I said, to her website and follow her on IG so we can all know when this book is released so we can all get our travel, our sponsored travel on goals.
Yeah, by the roll.
Exactly. Well, thanks again, Rachel. We'll be talking very soon. And thanks again.
Okay, thanks.
Awesome. Enjoy your day. Well, that's another episode of Finances Demystified with Dominique Broadway. Make sure you check out the show notes so you can get the link to Rachel's website at racheltravels.com. And I will see all of you soon. Have a good one. Bye.